The Apostle Peter says, "Dear friends, you are foreigners and strangers on this earth." No phrase should offer a better description for Christians today. I think sometimes people look at Christians and they may even ask the question, what planet are you from? Our culture, lives, language, faith practices are all very foreign to a lot of people. They may look at Christians as quaint or intolerant or even bizarre. And Christians are often fair game for ridicule. You see that in TV sitcoms or movies sometimes. But the letter of 1 Peter, where this phrase came from, was written to Christians scattered. No longer were these Christians in this quiet assembly of Jerusalem, but they were scattered throughout the Roman Empire. Sounds a little bit familiar to us. No longer are we able to meet in cozy church buildings. We are scattered, taken from our regular rhythms. But because Christians were scattered throughout the empire, the good news of Jesus was being spread. And even today, we hear stories of the good news spreading throughout our city, into our neighborhoods, our communities, into our families, because of us being scattered. So what does this text mean to us? To live as foreigners and strangers. And this morning, I want to explore two ideas with you. And the first being this. If Peter calls followers of Jesus foreigners, are we also foreigners? Growing up, I love being a part of a team. And I still do. It's one of the things I'm really missing right now. But being chosen for a team is a part of most of our lives. And it, for you, it could have started as early as in the schoolyard with two captains picking teams to play a game of soccer on the field. One of the worst feelings during that time was being picked last because you're not really picked at all. You're kind of like a consolation prize. You're going to the team that had the last choice and it just happened that way. Knowing someone chose you, wanted you, felt so good. But the interesting thing is, even though you are chosen, you still need to decide to join and play for that team to make that team better. See, Pastor Egbert has highlighted over the past few weeks that God chose you to be on his team, to be part of his family. And when we decide to follow Jesus, we join God's team. And the Apostle Peter explains the process of how we come to be on God's team. How do we come to join God's family? And the first way is this, that he rescued. 1 Peter 1:18 to 19. And you can open up your Bibles or follow on the screen as I read. But it says this, "You were rescued from the useless way of life that you learned from your ancestors. But you know that you were not rescued by such things as silver or gold that don't last forever. You were rescued by the precious blood of Christ, that spotless and innocent lamb." See, Peter says that we were rescued from a pointless life, a life of no meaning. And then there was a price paid, and it wasn't money or possessions. The price that was paid for you to be rescued was the very life of Jesus, God's Son. Many people know John 3:16, but it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." God loved you so much that he rescued you at the expense of a life, the life of his Son. And after God rescued you, and once you were rescued, you were given a new life and a hope. 1 Peter 1:3-4 reads, "Praise God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is so good. And by raising Jesus from death, he has given us new life and a hope that lives on. God has something stored up for you in heaven where it will never decay or be ruined or disappear." See, when we become a part of God's team, we have a new reason to live, a reason to be bigger than ourselves, to love God and to love others, to know God, to be in relationship with the creator of this universe, and to glorify him. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun." So we are rescued to be part of this new life, a new life based on the truth of God's love for us, a new peace based on God's provision, a new focus for our love, accepting God's love and reciprocating it to God and to others, and a new hope that there's more to this life than what is here on earth. And so you're rescued, you're given a new life and hope, And then we take part in building a spiritual home. 1 Peter 2, 4-5 says, "Come to Jesus Christ. He is the living stone that people have rejected, but which God has chosen and highly honored. And now you are living stones that are being used to build a spiritual house." When this building here was built, the feature wall behind me was given rich symbolism. And if you were to walk into this church building and into this foyer, most people wouldn't even notice it. So they look and they see this as just a nice landscape. There's usually a coffee table here set up where you can grab a coffee. And kids are kind of running around sometimes. A couple times a year, we do baptisms here. And this is just a really neat space to be able to do that. But if you look up, you'll notice that the tiles aren't finished. And it's based on the passage that I just read. See, we are being used to build a spiritual home with Jesus as the foundation. And we are added to the saints that built before us. And the reason why this wall is unfinished is that there's still more tiles to be added, new people to be rescued. See, God wants us to join him in growing his team. God's team isn't complete. It's not done growing yet. There's still more room. And I love how Peter recaps this first part in 1 Peter 2, 9-10. And it says, "But you are God's chosen and special people. You are a group of royal priests and a holy nation. God has brought you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And now you must tell all the wonderful things that he has done. For the scriptures say, 'Once you are nobody, now you are God's people. At one time, no one had pity on you. Now God has treated you with kindness.'" Isn't this a team you want to be a part of? See, as people of God, as followers of Jesus, our home is not on earth, not in the temporary. We long for our eternal home with God in heaven. And when we decide to accept this invitation, we become foreigners here on earth. The definition of a foreigner is a person born in or coming from a country other than one's own. See, most of us are born here in Canada, so we may not understand this, but when we join God's team, our home is with God, in the eternal, in heaven, not here on earth. And so we long to go to that place. If you haven't made the decision to follow God, remember that God wants to rescue you. He wants to give you a new life and hope and work with you to build his kingdom, one that lasts forever, covered by God's love. He takes you as you are. You don't have to have all the answers. You just need to start the journey. Tell someone. Email a pastor. Because today might be that life-changing day for you if you accept the rescue, accept this new life and hope. So the first idea I wanted to explore was, if Peter calls followers of Jesus foreigners, are we also foreigners? And I believe we are. So second, as foreigners, how are we supposed to live? How do we live faithfully as followers of Jesus in a culture in which we are considered irrelevant, misunderstood, or even rejected? So since we are foreigners, we live differently. My wife, Laura, and I both have similar stories growing up of how our parents wanted us to represent them. For me, it was the phrase, "Remember, you're a Schultz." And it was told to me often as I went to a friend's house or went to a gathering. "Remember, you're a Schultz." For Laura, it was her Italian grandma saying, "Keep up with your name," with lots of hand motions. See, the pressure to represent was large. And the negative aspect of this is living in a shadow or not being yourself, maybe hiding behind a mask. And this can be unhealthy. But the positive pressure to represent was that we try to live well. We live outside of ourselves because our decisions that we make not only impact us, but they impact our family and the people around us. See, when we join God's team, God's family, we represent him wherever we go. It's like we're wearing his jersey or we carry his banner. And when you're part of a team, you do whatever you can to help that team win. So you prepare well. And you listen to the coach because the coach has this overarching idea of how you guys how the team can play well together. And then you act out the plan, you act out your position, you're strong. And so you don't do this because you have to. You do this because you want to. You want to see the team succeed. And see, God calls us sons and daughters so that we represent him. And he wants us to represent him well through our lives, through our actions. So in this letter, Peter goes on to tell us how we are to live as foreigners. And in the first way, he wants us to live and live pure. 1 Peter 2:11 to 12 again says, "Dear friends, you are foreigners and strangers on this earth. So I beg you not to surrender to those desires that fight against you. Always let others see you behaving properly, even though they may still accuse you of doing wrong. Then on the day of judgment, they will honor God by telling the good things they saw you do." The NIV says, "Abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul." See, when we accept a new life and hope, we leave our old life behind us. The life before Jesus, where we were living for ourselves and trying to do things that would just prop us up to make our lives the best. And even now, if you've been a follower of Jesus for a while, we know we aren't perfect. We're still selfish. We're still prideful. We still make decisions that don't love other people. But see, we have Jesus as this model, this perfect model and how he lived his life. And we are to try and imitate that by loving God and loving others. And living pure means radical devotion. See, Galatians 5:24 says, "Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there." That's not a half-hearted attempt. We throw our whole weight into it to live pure. And how can you do that? Well, first, we flee from evil. We run from the bad influences and temptations in our lives. You tell someone, have someone in your corner to help you on this pursuit to have a pure life. Get rid of things that pollute the mind. The whole phrase of garbage in, garbage out. The things that we bring into our mind, they come out into our actions, into our life. And when we get rid of those things, we need to occupy our mind with good things. So whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, think about those things. And then pray. You know, commune with God regularly. He wants to be a part of your life, so make him a part of your everyday. These are ways that we can live pure. And secondly, Peter says to live free. 1 Peter 2:16 to 17, it says, "You are free, but still you are God's servants, and you must not use your freedom as an excuse for doing wrong. Respect everyone and show special love for God's people. Honor God and respect the emperor." And I love how the Apostle Paul teaches about how we are to live this freedom. Galatians 5:13 to 14 says this, "It is absolutely clear that God has called you to a free life. We are to live free. Just make sure that you don't use this freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want to do and destroy your freedom. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another in love. That's how freedom grows. For everything we know about God's word is summed up in a single sentence, love others as you love yourself. That's an act of true freedom." So what does this look like practically? And I had to think, and the first thing that came to my mind as I was preparing for this was the speed limit. We have the freedom to choose to obey a speed limit sign or not. I know this could be a hot topic button for some of you guys, but many of us believe that driving 10 kilometers an hour over the speed limit is safe, right? Because we won't get a ticket, or maybe 9 is a little bit safer. But what if you got a ticket for going 51 in a 50 zone? I know for me, I would grumble and complain, like, why are they giving me a ticket for going 1 over the speed limit? But that's the law, right? The law is that we're supposed to drive up to the speed limit of 50 kilometers an hour. But what if our mindset changed? What if instead of thinking of ourselves as a slave to the law, where we have to live under this, and it's a pain because we want to drive faster, what if instead of being a slave to the law, we use this as an act of worship to God, to submit to authority? Would that change our emotions and our attitudes, even our stress? See, our thoughts would then turn to God and his love instead of our speed depravity. When we use our freedom to glorify God, then following rules and laws seem like less of a strain, but more of an act of worship. You know, when we're serving people, it becomes more about others than about me. More about what I can give than what I can receive. Maybe during this pandemic, Rather than being frustrated with the rules and regulations that are in place, maybe we follow them as an act of worship to glorify God through this. But this requires us to trust. Last summer, I was able to go skydiving for the very first time. And man, what a feeling that was. The feeling of jumping out of that plane and free falling and feeling the wind rush past your arms and being able to see this massive landscape around us. It was just, the freedom was amazing. But I only had that freedom because I trusted fully in my tandem, Glib. See, Glib was the guy that I was attached to. He was the man who packed the parachute. He's a gentleman that was going to pull the cord at the right time so that we would be able to arrive safely onto the ground. If I didn't trust Glib fully, I wouldn't feel free. Trusting in God's love fully, trusting our lives to Him, allows us to experience freedom, to choose to love others, and to respect the authority around us. So when we live pure and when we live free, we also are to live loud. 1 Peter 2:9 says, God has brought you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now you must tell all the wonderful things that He has done. Peter's saying to share the difference that God has made in our lives. I'm not saying to stand on a street corner with a loudspeaker and to tell everyone what God has said. No, it's to be ready to share the good news. See, our lives can be loud by living pure and living free. People should be able to look at our life and notice that we are different, that we do things a little bit differently. We've been doing a centered journey, which is a 10-week journey, learning how to center our lives on Jesus. And this week, the participants were asked to come and develop their story, to be able to share the good news of their life, the difference that God has made in their life. And this morning, I heard story after story how God has changed their lives. See, our stories are powerful, and God desires for us to share the good news to those people around us, so that we help add new people to God's team, right? To build the spiritual kingdom that God has started, that the people, the Christians before us have built upon and that we build upon. You know, as we wrap up, I hope this is all good news for you. God rescues. God gives new life and hope and uses ordinary people like you and me to build His kingdom. And when we join His team, we desire to do our part and live as we are called to live pure, to live free, and to live loud. So my question for you is, what is it that God is saying to you today? Maybe it's taking that step to join God's team, to accept the rescue, to accept the new life and hope. And if that's the case, I pray that you tell someone, tell a Christian, tell one of us, email us here at Grace Point. It is important to celebrate this because this is life-changing. And maybe for you, it means that the living pure or living free has struck a chord with you. There's something holding you back from experiencing more of God. See, on earth, we only get a glimpse of the new life and hope that God offers, God's love, God's power. But we can lean into that more and more as we look to model our lives after Jesus. See, you are chosen to be God's sons or daughters. And when you experience and truly understand God's love for you, you can't help but live differently. And I pray that for you this week, that you are energized, that you are invigorated to live differently. Let's pray. Father, I'm excited for what you have for us. I'm excited for the love that you give us, even though we don't deserve it. We mess up so many times, but yet you continually say with open arms that you love us and accept us for who we are. And so, Father, as we go through this next week, I pray that you give us the courage to step out, to live pure and live free and live loud, to glorify you, to continue to build this family, this team that you started, to invite those around us into this life. So, God, I thank you for going before us and for being with us. Amen.